What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart. We're here.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. You can watch us on the stream, YouTube, 106.7 The Fan. Plus, nowadays, you can listen to us really anywhere. Any of the podcasts you can get on Spotify, Apple Pods. The Odyssey app's always up and rocking, but you can also listen, iHeart, TuneIn, wherever you want. We're there, man. I want to let folks weigh in on the Willits pick, 800-636-1067. I recognize that there is a school of thought out there that this was the best player. This wasn't about money. They think he's got the highest ceiling, okay, right? And generally, when you take, I mean, I feel like all drafts are crapshoots, and the baseball is more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's really hard to give this organization the benefit of the doubt, especially 1 week after firing their manager and their general manager, that whether it was like, let's say they looked at all the prospects, Holiday did fall to four, so there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
But if they looked at these prospects and they're like, all right, well, this dude is further away and not rep by Boris, and this dude is closer and rep by Boris, which means the service clock is just going to start that much faster and he's going to get to free agency. Then I find it impossible to believe that wasn't a factor.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe lots of organizations that would be the case. I recognize that. But like, I don't know. I'm in a worse place with Nats ownership than others. I find it very hard to give them the benefit of the doubt right now. Miles is in D.C. All right, Miles, what do you make of the Willits pick?
Look, guys, I'm going to tell you like this. I work for a cheap company. I'm a program manager. They're doing it like we do everything. We underbid. We get the cheapest people in place so we can make some money for the year. I'm a program manager. That's the job. That's what it seems like to me that the Nationals are doing. They're trying to get paid, keep butts in seats, but they're doing it on the cheap, as cheaply as possible. That's my opinion.
All right.
Now, the kid might still be a star.
Yeah, he might be. But I was told yesterday. Somebody told me something about the Nationals had some higher revenue or something than the Dodgers and some other people. I'm like, where? Never heard of that. And if they are, it's because they're not spending any money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I'm sure I can't be the only one who, you know, when the Nats made a pick that was kind of against the consensus, you know, I'm sure that there are people out there who thought this guy was a fantastic prospect, but the consensus was that there were other players that were better. I'm sure I'm not the only one that kind of got Ron Rivera vibes. Like, trust us, we know what we're doing here. When, you know, you haven't earned it yet. You haven't earned that trust.
Totally. I think that's fair. Willits is a great prospect, undeniably. But when you're watching the draft and all these draft dudes, all these hardcore baseball guys are like, what? You know, like, all right, you can tell me that you heard. And I think folks that are close to the Nationals are now going to rally around this is our guy, it was our guy all along. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like, I mean, one, you kind of hear that about every draft pick ever, right? Like, yeah. There's never an organization that's like, nah, man, we wanted the other guy, we're screwed. I thought Brendan Dar, who we all used to work with, had a tweet last night. He said, I know zero about baseball and less than zero about high school prospects, but it does seem striking that literally everyone outside of D.C. hates the pick or is wildly confused by it. Like, to me, the initial reaction by the baseball world and the guys doing the draft show last night was the truth. And then 10 minutes in or whatever, it's like, all right, we can't kill this kid. He's a good player.
They changed it up.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Didn't it feel like that?
Oh, it was exactly that. You know, I sat there and watched it, you know, and let's be honest, first time I watched that much baseball draft in my life. Last night was the most I've ever watched combined with all of them, all the other ones I've ever watched in my life.
Me too.
Because when I noticed that it's just the commissioner just walk up, say a name, and go back, and walk up, say a name, and go back, and it's not like the pageantry of like the rest of the leagues. I'm like, hell with this. It wasn't interesting to me, but I wanted to see last night what was going to happen.
Now, I have gotten this a bunch that it's not about being cheap. It's about being able to allocate your allotment of cash for the draft in different ways, right? That this allows them to pay more for the second rounder. And I also acknowledge...
Shouldn't you want to pay more for the first rounder because that's the player you expect to get the most out of?
That to me, dude, especially at 1-1, nah. If you had the 10th overall pick and you have a strategy that you're going to try to build lots of things, okay. But like, just to assume they did it right to build out the rest of this class just seems somewhere between naive and incredibly optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
My dude Wolfgang Klan just tweeted me. I listen to B. Mitch and Finley every day, but JP, you guys have to do a better job understanding how this draft works. It's about maximizing talent. I understand that there's a big pot of money that has to be spread out. But like, how do you sit there and think this is the way it's supposed to operate when they just fired the GM last week? Mm-hmm. They fired the GM. 1 week later, they make a pick that everyone involved on a national level is like, whoa. But we're wrong, B.
Yeah. Now, listen, man. I understand those people that are baseball lifers or people who think they're baseball lifers like to always tell you, like, you're on the outside looking in. But I know one thing. When the people that are on that desk last night, when they're shocked, I'm shocked. And there's not a person out here could tell me that you already had known this kid's name and he was going to be number one before he was number one.
I think there are people saying that now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, recency bias or, you know, after the fact people, you know, you could do all kinds of things you want. But I'd be damned if we would have put a little thing out there yesterday and asked you you always put them out there on
like the Twitter polls.
Yeah, put a poll out there. You wouldn't have said Willits. None of you that's trying to make it seem like it's real today. And as we stated, we would love for the kid to be spectacular. But it's like they tried to do something different because I believe when they made the comment, they said Rizzo probably would have been going with Holiday. They wanted to go opposite of what Rizzo would have done. Well, you better make sure you get some different results, too.
Listen, we're going to talk to plenty of baseball people. Peter Flaherty is going to join us at 11, who's an MLB draft expert. We can ask him these questions. I am open to an honest discussion that this really is just their guy, and it's how it worked out. I hope that's the case. Color me skeptical of the organization with how they've been running.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't had a winning season since they won the World Series. They've torn down their payroll dramatically. There's significant discussion that they might be trading away one of their assets within the next week of the trade.
Based off
here.
The speculation that those guys on the desk were saying, we're not sure if that kid Willis would be here later on. You know, if you kept hearing them talk about how teams will draft guys to position themselves to be able to move those guys. So we don't know if that's going. He's going to be here in the long run.
White Brian, you're a baseball guy. I assume you were watching last night. We were all texting about it. What was your reaction when Willits is the guy?
They seem like they need pitching and they need it quickly. So Cade Anderson made a lot of sense.
Right, and then it was like this discussion was. Cade Anderson's not a real one, right? Like he's not a true ace. Mm-hmm. But all everybody wants to do is compare him to Max Fried, who's pretty damn good. And yep. Like, Cade Anderson might not be a real ace, but at the same time, have you looked at the rotation? Like, if it's about just getting better, and the holiday stuff to me, power's the difference, right?
Yep.
Don't you need power bats? Because paying for them in free agency is impossible.
You need lots of it.
And by all accounts, Willits is going to be a stud, but he said it in his interviews last night. I'm working to develop my power. Maybe that's a factor of being 17. I don't know.
Could be.
George is in Alabama. George, what'd you think of the pick?
Well, so first I just wanted to say, JP, being that you guys are awesome, and I listen to you a bunch, but I think you're missing the mark a little bit here.
Explain.
Willits, I know he was the, like, I guess, surprise to the TV people, but mock drafts online like had him up there.
He was like a top three, top five guy.
I mean, Fangraphs had him as their guy at one, but which I'm kind of, you know, I prefer Eric Loggenhagen and his team. Their team's pretty good. And I know ESPN Kylie McDaniel, I think his name. He also had him at, I think, one, at least in the conversation. I know you talked about the bonuses. The guy they took in the third round, Landon Harmon, so a high school pitcher, committed to Mississippi State. He was projected to go like late first round, and they got him in the third. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about those bonus differences. So the slot got you at three, like in the third round with an after picking at 80. I mean, that was like $2 million. His ask would probably be around three. So that money that you're saving with Willits is basically like trading back in the NFL.
So I hear that, and that's really interesting. But doesn't that confirm that money was part of the pick with the first overall pick?
Sure, but I think when we're talking
not
about
necessarily
money,
saying it's the wrong move,
so in
but
other
it's
words,
a factor.
If they had signed Jackson Holliday, let's just go here for a little speculation.
Yeah.
If Jackson Holliday is a better talent right now, he's a better player, and you say, no, we got to spend too much money on him, so let's take the lesser player so we can spend more money later. To me, that don't make sense. I want the best player that I'm going to be picking first.
I mean, I understand where you guys are coming from. I just think it is the same way you think about a trade back in the NFL or the NBA. Like, how are you going to cure the most talent?
I got you. But, George, my counter to that would be, if you have the number one pick, don't trade back. Get the best player. Like,
if
you have the number one player and you trade it back, guess what you're going to get? A haul. They didn't get a haul.
Well, so I think what you're going to see today is they're going to target a couple more high school right-handers who are definitely going to go over slot. Ethan Petrie, their second rounder, is probably also an over slot guy. And I understand the argument for not trading back. I think kind of some perspective is Holiday probably would not have gone top five last year, would probably not have gone top five 2 years ago. This has been considered a pretty low quality top of the draft.
But I'm just looking at MLB.com in their mock had two different guys said it was going to be Cade Anderson. They had Holiday going fourth to the Rockies, which is what ended up happening, and then Willits going fifth to the Cardinals. Obviously, he's an elite prospect. He's in the conversation at number one. Nobody's denying that. I just think at some point, the truth, the reaction to the pick, when everybody's saying it's a stunner, is still a stunner.
Yeah, I get that. I think that, you know, we're talking about, I guess, different people's perspectives right here.
Sure.
Cause
it's inexact science, least, for sure.
At least the people who are on the TV, those aren't the draft guys. I don't know if you were watching ESPN. Kyler McDaniels, their year-round prospect evaluator, he wasn't surprised. It's the people who, you know, they're the talking heads, the ESPN guys who do the broadcast and stuff, they were surprised maybe. But I think the people who have really been studying this year-round, that there was not a ton of surprise. Like I'm saying, Fangraphs, they had Willits at number one.
All right.
And
George, we got to run. We're very late. Times. It's a good call, though. I appreciate the perspective.
The
Thank
kid
you.
That was sitting yeah. second in was a draft analyst.
Right.
He Thank wasn't you, really a TV guy. The other guys have been on TV, and all of them were managers in the league and this and the other. I don't think that just because they're on TV talking that they're just talking heads.
Right.
They have experience in what they're doing.
Or that they're not friends with scouts and GMs and guys that build rosters and text and talk with them
we'll
all the
see.
Time.
We'll see. I mean.
I do not pretend.
We will see.
Yeah. I do not pretend to be an MLB draft expert.
Obviously, where it stands now, it's not great. It's not good at all. And without any progression.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
And then you have to take steps based off of where you're at. You know what I mean? There's a hope that I do want to continue to play here. And I do want to be a part of what's being built and what's going to be built. But at the same time, you know, you want to be valued by the you know, the front office and the ownership group and things like that. And, you know, it's just past just the words of it. It's, you know, the actions behind it. And I feel like I've proven who I am and who I'm going to continue to be, you know what I mean? And so, I mean, at some point, I guess you can say there's a point of no return. I don't think it's at that now, but I mean, there's a, you know, time is kind of ticking.
P. Mitch Finley. 106.7 The Fan. Terry McLaurin just spoke. That's the whole reason Brian and I came to Laurel. We're here at Eastern Motors where Terry had his commercial shoot and then talked after. I was there standing with Terry, so I got to see exactly his reactions, his emotions. He's clearly frustrated. I think he's hurt.
He almost dropped some tears over there, man.
Yeah, he did. I think he's hurt by how it's gone. Now, I will pause to say I think it's really important that nothing ever got said that can't be walked back. And it seems like
I don't think anything he said needs to be walked back. I just think that he never crossed the line to make anything personal.
Right. But yeah, we got to be clear, man. This is not a good situation. This has crossed into not great situation territory. The fact that Terry's saying, you know, it's going to be hard. He didn't say he's not going to come to camp, but barring something changing between now and next week, it doesn't seem like he's going to come. But they, in a lot of ways, probably put some pressure on the Commanders now. The ball's clearly in their court. I asked Terry that. I was like, yo, how do you get this going again? He's like, we got to hear from them. Because the word that I've gotten is not meaningful discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hear a lot of stuff, but when Terry comes out and says it himself, it's not hearing anything. That's him talking.
I heard what I've heard in previous negotiations, who basically just spoke from his heart, told you what exactly he feels. And I think if you respect him, then you listen to him. And I will say this, I'll go to war with him any damn day.
To that point, so I posted a few videos on my Twitter, and Jeremy Reeves, who is a all-pro player for the Commanders and has been here a while, Revo is one of the few guys that's played for all three team names.
Mm-hmm.
Revo just, I mean, this just happened, just quote tweeted me, said of Terry McLaurin, he said, the proof is on the tape and how you show up to work every day. You're one of one, 17, always have been family.
Yeah.
Terry talked that he's been in touch with Jaden and that they both know they, you know, need to be together, all those things. I don't know. We can open these phone lines up and let people react. I think people are going to be freaked out. I think
they will be, but that's what people do. But when he spoke,
but B, that wasn't good.
When I don't know if it wasn't good. I mean, he just spoke his mind. I don't know what do you look for in a negotiation? I mean, everything is not going to be good.
Yeah, if this was the conversation in March.
No, it's a conversation now, but this is what negotiations do. We have not had a lot of this going on here. That's why we're not used to it. I've seen this stuff happen for the last 30-plus years.
Sure.
That's why I don't get stressed out about stuff like this. But the ultimate thing is, when he spoke about Jaden, he spoke about Frankie, guys that if GMs go to talk to somebody on the team, they're going to probably talk to those type of guys. Those guys are in his corner. They got his back. When you see guys that are not reaching out to a guy, then you got a problem. If he had said, no, I hadn't talked to Jaden, then I would be worried. But the fact that he's talking to the main guys on his team still, I'm not worried because I have seen people damn near throw punches at each other and a deal still got done.
Certainly. The last half hour of Terry talking in no way precludes a deal from happening in the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that conversation. Listen, I spoke to somebody with the organization today.
Mm-hmm.
They knew this was coming. They had a content person here.
Yeah.
There was a Commanders dude shooting content that works for the team. So none of this is a surprise. And the team has been in contact with plenty of people throughout this. So they understand the other side is frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
The reality here is, what is the decision for Washington? It is the one thing you could tell Terry was pissed about was when people try to hang it on age. Terry gave a very long and impassioned discussion of why
age as a catch-all is not fair. It's not accurate. How his career is not the same as others at age 30.
Yeah.
I think you could tell clearly that one bothered him. We're going to try to get to some calls here. Terry McLaurin has talked. He's unsure if he's going to come to training camp next week. Very, very frustrated by contract negotiations with the Washington Commanders. Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. In moments, we're going to be joined by Gary Clark. Talk about Art Monk getting his jersey retired, man. Well-deserved honor.
Yep.
You know, obviously, Gary and Art and Ricky Sanders were the posse and played together and close friends. And I imagine what this must mean. You know what I mean? It was pretty cool to see your reaction yesterday when it happened.
I was happy, man. I was thrilled.
It meant a lot.
Hey, man, that dude right there. He's another. All he does is do what he's. All he did was do what he's supposed to. He led, quiet leader. Didn't say a lot, but the dude worked his ass off, and I was happy to see that yesterday.
And one of the coolest things, if you've seen the video, is that Gary Clark actually went down to Florida to tell Art the news. Gary Clark joins us now via the Rude Guest Hotline. Gary, what's up, man? How are you?
How you doing, guys?
Good, man. Gary, I was telling JP, I was like, man. Gary was a little subdued in that thing. I normally know Gary, and Gary and I like to talk with a lot of choice words. Is it the respect of Art that made you pull it back?
Definitely respect to Art that makes me pull it back. I mean, we both know Art is he's a quiet man. He's all about action with his play, not necessarily with his words. You know, and Art only talks when he has something to actually say. So. Yeah. He's definitely a little different from me, and it's about Art Monk. It wasn't about Gary Clark. So
gotcha.
Let's go respect Art.
So
not me so much.
Gary, I think the team, the organization did such a great job with that video and sending you guys down there. Can you tell us a little about kind of how it came? Like, who reached out to you? When did you guys actually go down there? I'm just kind of curious about it all.
Well, we went down probably about 2 weeks ago because we had to keep it quiet for about 2 weeks.
Right.
But around 2 weeks ago, we went down, and it was just they were letting us know that they was going to retire our jersey. And, of course, they wanted the posse to be a part of that. So myself, Ricky, Doug Williams, Art's closest friends on the team was also there, Charles Mann, Tim Johnson, yeah. Daryl Green. So some of the people that are important to Art, definitely they had to be a part of it. And our family, my Art's family is huge, by the way. I mean, it's like 30.
Yeah, 30 I saw that.
Cousins and families and everything. So it was a huge group of people. But everybody was spectacular. And Art was spectacular. It was a surprise. It completely caught him off guard. Completely caught him off guard. Because his family didn't let him know that, you know, so... It was like wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Let me grab my purse real quick.
Yeah, you know, so, Gary, it's like when you see people receive things that they well deserve, it makes you feel even better. And Art, being that guy, you know, like I tell people, all I saw a dude do was work. He rarely talked. You know, if he had something to say, he'll say it. But he worked his butt off. And I was as happy as they come yesterday when I saw that, because certain guys you root for, and he's always been one I root for. Him, Monty, people like that. Yourself.
Yeah. That's what it is for Art, you know. Art's one of these guys that, I mean, his play was just spectacular. I remember when I first came to the Redskins, the whole passing game was kind of built around Art completely because that's how good he was.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just a spectacular leader. Got things done. Everybody respected him. There was never, never, never one person on the team that did not respect Art Monk. And when he did speak, everybody did listen. Totally. It was like E.F. Hutton. Everybody did listen when he did speak, though.
Talking with Gary Clark here, former Redskins wide receiver, member of the posse. Gary scored 65 regular season touchdowns in his career. Art,
mega scoot, dog.
Art scored 68 in his career. Just incredible numbers. Gary, watching that video that the team put out and you being the first guy through that door, you could see the surprise in Art's face when he opens that door. I mean, just that moment, knowing the news you were about to share with him, like how cool is that? Is it even just hard to describe?
I mean, it was, It was so, I was kind of hoping that he said, what the? he's never cursed a day in his life that I've known him. Not once in his life I've ever heard him say a curse word. Not gosh, I mean, he's kind of like Joe. Gosh darn, that was about the most you get out of Joe or Art. But I thought I was going to get him there for a second. I thought I was going to get, you know, something out of it. But he was totally surprised, completely got him off guard. His wife did a great job of keeping it completely from him. His family completely kept it from him on the whole time. And it was just a special moment that he had. I mean, you know, Art doesn't really get teary-eyed, but he got a little teary-eyed on that day, which was, you know, it was nice to see.
Like, well, mine kind of sweated a little bit yesterday. I kind of was able to keep it from the dude. Did you get a little teary-eyed?
I think everybody there got a little bit teary-eyed just because
I'm not asking about them. I'm asking about you, Gary. You try to avoid the question.
So I'm saying, everybody got a little teary-eyed. That's me included. I said everybody, D. Mitch. I said say everybody.
I see you trying to like, oh, you're not going to say, yeah, I got teary-eyed. Everybody got teary-eyed.
It was contagious, what can I say?
There you go.
Gary, I think just as a fan who grew up watching you guys, right, and now works in this in whatever capacity, I think when the last group did the rebrand, I don't think the rebrand was done very well, but I also think they made a really bad decision of trying to just pivot away from all of the team's great history. And I think since Harris has bought the team, the Harris group, all of them included, Magic and Ein and Rails, all of them, right, have openly talked about we embrace our history as we move forward. And I'm curious for you, retiring Art's jersey, Daryl last year, bringing those Super Bowl era uniforms, like how much more valued, involved, and just much, how different does it feel now for you as one of the most distinguished alumni in Redskins history?
I mean, I'm excited about, you know, what's going on, how the team is playing. In terms of like how I've been treated, honestly, I was always treated nice by the organization. I mean, don't get me wrong, like B. Mitch can say the same. Like, there's certain members of the team that always got treated nicely. What I like about this organization is kind of like, you know, they treat everybody the same, whether they got the same type of accolades or not the same type of accolades. They treat everybody the same. But don't get me wrong, the Snyders never treated me bad. I had a good experience with the Snyders. Not one bad experience that I ever had with them.
I don't even mean that. I mean more like
what I do like about this team and what they're doing right now with this staff and this ownership is they're bringing excitement back to the game of football. The fans are excited about it. You know, you saw the last home game that we played, packed house. Mm-hmm. It was in that way for probably the last 5, 6, 7 years since Joe left. It hadn't been that way. So it's exciting. It's exciting to have football back where it belongs. And Burgundy and Gold is coming out. And hopefully we'll be able to get back in the District of Columbia as well. I mean, I'm excited about all the things that the new team and the new ownership is doing.
For sure. What'd you think about the unis coming back?
That's always cool. That's always a cool thing. They're going to have B. Mitch come out and return punts that same game.
No, they're not. Hey, for 7 figures, I would.
Seven figures, I'd make you go out there and return it.
This may be silly. Did you two ever race? Did you ever race, Gary?
No. Race who, B. Mitch?
Gary was a speed guy. I run through you. And then if you got behind me, I didn't let you catch me.
I mean, B. Mitch and Jerry Rice are the same. Like, you're never going to catch them in football. They got football speed. That's the most important thing, period. It's football speed. I've never seen anybody really catch B. Mitch from behind.
That's crazy.
I never really seen that happen. Once he got in front of you, but he would run through you because he's crazy. He's not a quarterback. He faked being a quarterback that whole time he was in college. He was not a quarterback.
I can throw the ball, dog. The coach decided the smart, athletic guy plays quarterback.
Don't get me wrong. You could throw the rock.
But, you know, you just don't have a quarterback's mentality. You fought everybody when you first got on the team.
If you go to the Mitchell household, you don't have a weak mentality. You got to be tough.
Oh, you're definitely tough. You're crazy. I was a little scared of you when you came as a rookie. To be quite honest, I was a little scared of you. I never seen a quarterback act that way before.
Never saw a quarterback try to fight Jumpy Gethers.
It's unbelievable, though.
Hey, Gary, it was an interesting day yesterday because there was like the emotion, the excitement of the Art Monk news, and then Terry McLaurin had the press conference later in the day. You played pro football a long time. You had contract disagreements. I don't know if you've seen or heard any of Terry's comments, but just what is it like going through that as a receiver that has put it all on the line and performed at the highest level and still have to go through kind of the business side of things?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a tough thing, especially when you've played for a team as long as, you know, that I played for the team. Before I went to the Cardinals, it's not like I really wanted to go to Phoenix. I did not want to go to the Cardinals, you know, you set what you think you're worth, you know, and for me, it was just really simple back in the day. I mean, I wanted to make sure that myself, Art Monk, and Ricky Sanders stayed the posse. We stayed there as a team, period. That's all I cared about. I cared about keeping the group together because as a group, we were the best three receivers in football as a group. Not saying individually, but as a group, best football trio in the game, hands down. And why they wanted to break that up, don't get me wrong, I love Desmond. Desmond's a great guy. He was a good football player, better return guy than receiver, though. Much better return guy than a receiver. And they should have created special plays for Desmond, not have him come in and make him the third person of the posse. That mm-hmm. was, and I told him, like, you know, if us three are, I'm going. Trust me, I didn't think they was going to say go.
Yeah.
I didn't think that, but I guess me and Charlie Cashley, we just didn't agree on certain things. And once I said it, I'm not going to back down once I say something. I'm going to be Mitch like that. Like, once I say it, I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do.
There you go.
But I did cry like a baby when I went to Phoenix on the flight out there, completely tears, whole 9 yards. I didn't know. I want to retire as a Washington Redskin. I really did, but unfortunately, it didn't happen. So contracts are tough, man. I mean, it really is. I mean, a team has something they need to do. The players have something that they need to do. But I hope, sincerely hope, they get this thing straight with Terry because Terry is on his way. He's escalating each year.
Yeah.
There's not a down cycle. You know, you can't complain until there's a down cycle. I don't care if he's 30 years old. I don't care if he's 40 years old. If I don't have a down cycle, leave me alone.
There you go. 100%.
You know, if I start playing great, then you could have that conversation. Age shouldn't matter. And all football players know that. I was much better my last year in the league than I ever was my first years in the league.
Yep.
You know, slower a whole 9 yards.
What happens is they talk to the player and they want you to get better while they're predicting that you're going to get worse. It's a weird message that you get. When you hear people around football, it's always about, oh, you're at 30, now you're not going to be able to play. But if you started saying something like that, you'll get knocked for it. But the player still is being pushed to be better. And the guys that take care of themselves, they do get better.
I mean, I got much better over time. I mean, I really was better. But, you know, the mindset, of especially back when we played B-Mitch, the mindset was as you got older, and if you got slower, you weren't the same player you weren't. But the key is what you learn while you play.
There you go.
I was much better at 4.6 than I ever was at 4.3. Because I learned so much over time. I knew how to utilize my energy. I knew how to utilize my space.
Yep.
You know, I mean, the key is getting open. The key is not how fast you are. The key is how quick you are.
Yep, totally.
Because you got to make people miss in space. You know, you're right next to me. I got to make you miss in front of me.
Yep. I can show people a few games over at past 30 and past where things were better than they were at 23, 24, and 25.
Oh, it's
you know what I mean?
You have non-football people making those decisions, unfortunately, back in the day. Now it's better because you got more players that are now coaches that are involved in the game.
But they're now being told
how
to
think. Played, there was mostly not – there weren't NFL players being coaches back then. Mm-hmm. You had people that – I mean, they were coaches, but they never played your position, so they didn't know how to necessarily coach you. I was fortunate; I had Charlie Taylor. I told him, I guess it was my third year of class. I said, just shut up, Jack. Take the credit. I'm not going to do what you're telling me to do. It's not going to work.
I love it, dog.
I love it, man.
Yeah, we more alike than you think. You call me crazy. Hell, you crazy,
yeah,
too.
Man. Why am I going to do something that will get me cut? That's just stupid. I'm not going to do that.
Gary, I've told you this before. My favorite play ever of yours, I remember it clear as day. I just tweeted out the video in Giants Stadium. You guys were looking to make a statement, hadn't won up there in a couple years. Rip hits you on that bomb. I can never stop watching that play, man. And for Rip, they rolled him out to the opposite side, and then he was getting pressured and had to turn around. I mean, were you at all surprised he was – you remember the play well, I'm guessing.
No, it was a throwback. It was designed to be that way. But basically, I would come off the ball like I'm not really in the pattern, because he's rolling out away from me, so it makes it look like I'm not in the pattern. So a lot of times you'll catch your defensive back looking back into the play. When they do that, then I would go by them. So, and I mean, it worked multiple times, quite honestly, especially that 91 season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very fortunate I got to throw back a couple of times.
You sure went by them. I mean, that also takes a hell of an arm. And no doubts about Rip's arm strength, but I mean, he's throwing that thing from his own 40 and hits you at like the 4-yard line.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he had a gun. I mean, that season, without a doubt, I had a couple touchdowns that were like 5 yards, 8 yards. So I averaged like 45 yards a touchdown catch that season. You take those 8 yards and 10 yards away, I'm averaging like 60-some yards a touchdown catch. Rip could throw the rock.
Oh, man. What a loaded team.
I mean, he could throw the rock. Definitely could. Great touch.
Well, Gary, I want to say thank you,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate you, brother.
Always appreciate you making time for us, dude.
I say anytime B. Mitch tells me I have to do something, I have to do it. I'm good at B. Mitch. So I'm going to do whatever B. Mitch tells me to do.
You crazy, dude. Yeah, we appreciate you, dog. Thank you.
You guys, man.
All right. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate you, man.
Take care.
All right.
Gary Clark, man, just absolutely one of the best. I mean, 1,229 yards, 9 touchdowns. 90, 1,112 yards, 8 touchdowns. That 91 season, 1,340 yards, 10 touchdowns. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. What up, everybody?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. And another future Hall of Famer, first ballot, no doubt about it, Hall of Famer, has chosen to play for the Washington Commanders. Good morning, Mr. Mitchell. How do you do?
I am doing well, Mr. Finley. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, dude. I think, you know, last night, all week we've been consumed with the Terry McLaurin stuff, yep. Right? And their fans, I think, have been really worried about the edge position kind of throughout the offseason.
They have been.
I mean, that's been, until the Terry thing kind of kicked up to another gear, the biggest concern is how are you going to generate pass rush? You lost Dante Fowler. How are you going to get this done?
Uh-huh.
And you and I talked about this way back. Like, you know, there are some of these veterans out there. You wonder how much these guys are going to want to do summer off-season stuff. But as camp gets closer, who could make sense?
Yeah.
And to add a guy like Von Miller, I mean, just to go through his resume, 8-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, 2-time Super Bowl champ, the MVP of Super Bowl 50, when the Broncos defense just shredded Cam Newton and the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Member of the Hall of Fame All 2010s team, number 2 overall pick by Denver back in the 2011 draft. I'm not pretending the Von Miller they're getting is the Von Miller that wrecked Cam Newton in that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay? But the Von Miller they're getting last season was still quite good.
Hey, I think he played 11 games. He had 8 sacks.
Six? Yeah.
They had 8 the whole year, though.
No. No. 6 last year.
Not what I
promise.
Go ahead.
But still, it's not just about sacks. Like, we can't honestly, Dante Fowler had double-digit sacks last season. But he was probably overall a negative for the team, honestly. Like, on one of those big Saquon runs, go back and watch it. Dante Fowler gets blocked into Bobby Wagner and takes him out of the play. If you look at Von Miller's year last season, 6 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, 8 hits, only playing about 25% of the snaps.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Pro Football Focus, which I don't always love to reference, but PFF thought he was really good last year. 10th in pass rush win rate.
Yep.
I mean, 10th in the league. He's winning on his pass rushes 17.6% of the time. A guy like Trey Hendrickson only won 20% of the time. Miles Garrett's at 23.
What happens is you get all those big dudes in the middle. He gets on the edge one-on-one with a lot of tackles. Von Miller may be older. He's still more athletic than most tackles out there.
Totally.
And for me, I don't look at the fact of just what Von Miller can do. I look at what Von Miller can do for other people. There are young pass rushers on this team that we're going to be counting on when Von is done with the league. And 1 year with him is better than 1 year with just a coach, or 2 or 3 years with the coach. Watching him every day work and watch the things he does, as I was telling Jeff earlier, when I was younger watching Ernest Biner and Kelvin Bryant, I didn't ask a lot of questions at first. All I did was one day I see them do something and they win. Then I see them win again. You know what I did the next day? The same stuff they did. And then I began to do it over and over again and it became a part of my repertoire. And I think that happens for the young guys. We always talk about how the veteran guys are good for the young guys. It's not necessarily what you say. It's what you do. And if he goes out there and it starts doing, they can start taking some of those weapons of the pass rushes and add that to their holster, then it makes him a better player. So, you know, just like having Bobby Wagner on his team, very much what Von Miller can be.
Well, that's what I was going to say is I watched last year the impact Wagner had in the locker room. And honestly, the relationship that Wagner and Jaden developed, I thought was so healthy. It was a total big bro, little bro. They were always like kind of talking S to each other, always talking about basketball. They grew up in the same part of the country.
Yeah.
Wagner just commanded the locker room. Like, I'm not trying to make a weird pun because of the Commanders. Like, he really has this gravitas to him. And I think that really, really added to a defense that was okay. Mm-hmm. But in big moments, they had a guy to calm him down. And this team had a lot of big moments. And yes. I think Miller will only add to that. And B, it's funny, what you just said made me think about Art Monk. I mean,
hell yeah.
What was his impact on you when you got into the league?
Man, just like I said, it's not about what the guys say. Art didn't say much. Art talked more yesterday to all of you and the different shows he was on than he's talking his whole damn life.
I put that moment with you and Art on TV. I thought that was really cool.
But the cool thing is, thanks. The cool thing, when you watch professionals, like, as Ray Brown would say, when you watch a pro, you learn from the pro. You do what the pro does. You don't watch a pro and then you have to go ask questions. When you see what he does, you try to go do what he's doing.
Right.
And that's what Von Miller is a pro. And listen, I'm not trying to sit up here and act like Von Miller is Michael Parsons right now.
Right.
He was once Michael Parsons. But what did Gary Clark say yesterday? He was much better at 4'6 than he was at 4'3. So Von Miller might just be a little better because of his savvy, his intelligence on the field than he was when he was a young, fast dude. Because you learn stuff as you get older, you know? And I'm not necessarily just worried about him because he's probably here a year and he's gone. But there's somebody else that's going to be here that we're going to have to count on at one point this year, probably another point next year and the next year, and they may learn something from this dude while he's here.
Totally. And I think let's be crystal clear to everybody listening, everybody on the YouTube, when people listen to this on podcast, whatever it is, we're not saying Von Miller is going to break out for 14 sacks next year. I don't expect that.
Nobody
I think he's
that.
Going to be pretty limited snap count. I think you're thinking 25, maybe 30% of snaps.
But a guy that can have impact in 25% of snaps, that's great.
Well, and B, we could talk about the 6 sacks, the pressure rate, all that stuff. What Joe Witt and Dan Quinn have talked about all the time, and Joe Witt goes hard. I love listening to Joe Witt because there is zero sugarcoating with that dude. What they've talked about over and over and over again, and you're going to hear it later in the show when we talk to Warren Sharp, the defense did not make enough big plays. They didn't generate enough turnovers, and that's something that Witt and Quinn teams do, right?
Yeah.
They generate turnovers. And the biggest play Von Miller made last year wasn't one of the sacks in the regular season. It was in that Ravens win over the Bills. He grabbed a fumble and almost house called it. Like he had a 40-yard fumble recovery, like a 40-yard run on a fumble recovery. He has a knack for big plays throughout his career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one knock that is pretty silly. In 2021, that Rams Super Bowl run, remember the Rams traded for him kind of at the deadline?
Mm-hmm.
In the playoffs, he had 4 sacks in 4 games in that Super Bowl run. Forced a fumble, had a fumble recovery, 6 TFLs. I understand that was 4 years ago now. But the people that want to say he's injury prone, I think you're incorrect on that. In the last 2 years, he's played 25 games. Mm-hmm. Like, if you get 12, 13 games out of him, and you're getting, I don't know, say it's 30% of snaps, and he's able to make an impact in those, and say he creates, say there's a strip sack in there, like, this is a 1 year. I don't know that it's veteran minimum. Von Miller might command more than veteran minimum, but I bet it's incentive laden.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to dispel the injury plague thing. And I also, for the folks that are like, well, how does this impact Terry?
It has nothing to do with Terry. And say what I had that conversation with Jeff. Like, people have to realize you have money slotted for positions for the most part. He's not affecting that receiver position. Has nothing to do with it. And, you know, they could do a veteran minimum deal with some incentives. Because whatever he gets, he doesn't count all of that even against the cap, even if it's a small number. It counts a lower number against the cap. And I think people have to realize that and stop. Everything is not the same in the NFL, believe me. There's so many little different things that they do and how they could do things to where one thing affects the other at all.
Totally, man. I think here's the thing to remember with McLaurin. They're working on a contract extension. Contract extensions are complicated. Free agency is pretty easy, right? You get to the tampering period. You see who makes you offers. You figure out where you want to play, who's giving you the most cash, what's the best deal, and you kind of play them off each other. That's easy. Extensions are complicated because Terry's already under contract for this year.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably want to convert some non-guaranteed money to guaranteed money. Then you got to figure out, all right, well, what's the salary in the extension? What are the guarantees in the extension? When do the guarantees hit in the extension? What's guaranteed at signing? What's guaranteed year two? What's guaranteed on the third day of the third of the league year in 2028? Like, that is complicated stuff.
Yeah.
And if they're far apart on the money to begin with, that only further complicates it. The Miller deal is going to be pretty darn straightforward.
100.
I also think I want to play this audio from Zach Ertz the other day where he was on with Kay Adams. But, B, what does it say about this organization? Like, Von Miller's not going to sign with the Panthers. He's not a dude that is just chasing another check.
He sees how close they are. You know, he sees how close they are. And also, Dan Quinn, Joe Witt, has a reputation. You know who else has a reputation? Cliff Kingsbury. And his student has a great reputation. That's what people want to be with. You know, Von's a defensive player. Not going to be on the same side of the ball with Jaden, but he knows that dude is a problem for people. And if we could just get the ball to him more often, everybody else will have a problem with us. So that's why people want to sign here, because this team is the up-and-coming team. This team has that chance. You know, you got a guy in his second year, people are already talking about top 10. A lot of people say top 5. That says a lot.
Well, and if you look at these vets they've brought in, and dude, people get caught up in the average age of the roster. One thing I want to point out, your three specialists on this team are driving the age up pretty good. Between Tress, Gay, and Ott, they're all in their 30s.
Yeah.
And, like, how long did Sean Landetta play, B? Was he 40?
Sean Landetta played 20-plus years in pro football. He was in the USFL for about 3 years or 4 years, whatever it was. Then he played 20 years, I think, or more in the NFL. Sean Landetta played a long damn time.
Like, I'm not trying to discount that they have some older veterans on this team, but when you average out the age, you know who the oldest dude on the team is?
Ooh.
The third string quarterback. Like, Josh Johnson is 39. So that's going to drive your numbers way up. In an ideal world, Josh Johnson doesn't play a snap. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Josh Johnson, Nick Ballore, who's primarily a special teamer, is 36. Tress is 35. Ott is 33. That Mariota's your backup. He's 31. Like, that is going to drive this roster age way up.
You know what?
I'm not pretending like they don't have other older veterans, but, like, just allow that to saturate.
I know the world has changed and the NFL and everything. What was the average age of the 1991 Super Bowl team?
White Brian, see if you can ask.
I guarantee that age was up there.
Yeah, and they were one of the best teams
and,
of all time.
And many people think it's the best of all time.
Now, I mean, their two biggest offseason acquisitions in Debo and Laremy Tunsil are 29 and 30, respectively. So they're going for veterans. They also had a roster that was pretty bare bones that they're trying to rebuild through the draft and on the fly. 91, White Brian, when the last Redskins Super Bowl. Good God. I think nobody's pretending that Von Miller is Lawrence Taylor.
Said he wasn't born then, dog. He don't know what the hell they did. He cheered for their opponent.
But I do think, to me, this makes a ton of sense. And for folks that were upset they didn't bring Fowler back, I mean, straight up, would you rather have Fowler or Miller?
I think Miller can give you what Fowler gave you completely.
All right,
and also plays better against the run.
I don't think Von Miller's going to be out there in run situations very often. I think there's a reason. Like, when it's tush-push time against the Eagles, and there will be tush-push time against the Eagles, I think that's when you see Eddie Goldman. You know what I mean? Like, I think they now believe – I mean, that D-line – I mean, let's just rattle off the names. Kinlaw, Wise, Payne, Newton, Goldman, Dorrance Armstrong. Now you add Von Miller. I mean, that's eight dudes that will have, like, roles. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Sheldon Day's still there. Like, you've got guys that will have roles, and then you've got younger guys that can be pass rushers. Nobody's saying it's perfect, but I think this is an addition of a veteran. You still have Farrell. Jalen Holmes, I thought, gave them real good snaps down the stretch last year. I know you like Jacob Martin's tape from Chicago. To me, it's a veteran ad. Doesn't cost you much, and it makes a ton of sense.
Yep.
For
I have no issue with the day.
Yeah, me too. I mean, the text thread. All right, so White Brian says the average. You want to guess, or I guess you could look. White Brian says the average age of that 91 Skins team was 26.2.
What is the one now?
30. Probably 30.
I don't think it's 30. 30. It's 26 something.
Get us that number.
I thought it was 26.7 or something like that. You got all them young dudes on the team, too, now. You got Jaden is 23. Mikey is 21.
It's 27 and a half, 27 which is the highest in the NFL. Yeah.
And I think it's no different. It'll make no difference.
I do wonder, though, B, after you sign Von Miller, understanding how different the situations are, like almost an ocean of difference, I don't know that the Commanders are playing the age card with Terry in these negotiations. Seems a little harder to do it.
But as I told Jeff again, Jeff and I had an extensive conversation. You're paying Von a 1 year, very, very low contract compared to what everybody else is. Terry's contract is going to be a large contract for multiple years, whether it's two, three, four, whatever. Those two things can't be compared, and if the age thing don't make a difference in that. You got a guy that's going to come in and play 25%, as you stated, and another guy that's going to be your main guy. I mean, they can try and play it, but as Gary said yesterday, where the hell is he – where is he shown to be dropping off?
Right.
You know?
And think about it this way, too. They had Wagner last year. He obviously played for DQ in Seattle. They had Ertz last year. He and Kingsbury are super tight from their time together in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
You add Von Miller now. Well, Adam Peters was in Denver as a scout when they drafted him. And Peters worked his way up there as Von Miller. I mean, Peters has a couple Super Bowl rings, and they're from his time with the Patriots and the Broncos. Like, Peters knows this dude. Peters went and got Debo this offseason. That's another dude he scouted coming out of college, and he knows as a human. I don't think this is accidental. If I had to guess, AP probably texted Von back in March and was like, hey, you let me know when the time's right. Let's talk.
Yeah, we might come get you, dog.
I think for the edge angst crowd, you maybe you're – and we're going to let Jeff talk here in a minute. We're going to actually open these phone lines up. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. How do you feel about Von Miller? Do you feel a lot better where this football team is now? Let's take calls next. We'll let Jeff react next. We'll run through all of it.
You're listening to B. Mitchell Finley. He's an NFL legend. I am a big-eared blogger. What up, B?
You're more than a big-eared blogger. You're big-eared. But you do more than blogging, dog.
Sadly, I don't even blog.
You're a radio
anymore.
Host.
I miss blogging.
You're a TV guy. You're a dad.
Yo.
You're
the dad stuff. Oh, I didn't show you this.
You're an okay husband.
average best.
Man, you're a lot of stuff. Don't stop calling yourself a big ear blogger, man.
Look at this, dude. So my girls are doing this outdoor camp all week.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this, Shelby. So they swim in the rapids on the Potomac.
Yeah, she hit a rock.
She hit a rock hard, and we had to get her to stay home today because she was limping around, and we were like, dude.
She hit a leg?
Yeah, that's like right on the
top. I thought that was her shoulder at first.
No, it's her leg. And so you know what I told her?
Did she want to go back?
She wanted to go back.
See, I like that.
I was like, baby.
The one thing I always want to know when my girls, when they got injured, and my son ain't had no choice because, you know, I'm like, you going back. Like, my daughters always ask him, you know, like when Bria fell, broke her shoulder.
Yeah.
Leah,
doing
like,
the flips and all that down. Crazy stuff. Yeah.
I'm like, you going to go back? As soon as I get a chance, that made me smile.
Yeah.
But then you can start babying them up a little bit. But you don't want it to destroy their love for something.
Well, I told Shelby, I was like, baby, if a football player had that, he's not practicing the next day. I don't know if that's true, but I told her to calm down about missing camp.
Let me teach you a little something, Jay. You know, every once in a while when your kids are at home, they actually listen to the show with mom. So don't say that you told them something that you didn't know was true. Because they may hear you say that, fool.
I got a feeling they ain't listening right now.
What if your phone go ping?
Yeah, we'll find out. So it's just chaos at my house. Little one's sick. Older one hurt her leg. But we're persevering, Landfill. Don't worry about us. We're going to get through it, okay? It's funny, dude. I was thinking about this. Last year on rookie report to camp day was like the biggest day ever because of old number 5, the number 2 overall pick, Jaden Daniels. It was his first day of training camp. Today on rookie report day, not the same buzz.
May be the same buzz, but you know what? We talked about something yesterday. It was a big thing, but their number 2 agreed to terms.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's cool. I think what you got to realize is once you get a quarterback like Jaden, other things and starts may never, ever get to that point, but it's not about what's the buzz anymore because we had been going around. We sucked for a long time. So that was a great buzz. Now it's a continuation of what you started already. And I think by having Trey now signed up, Jalen, I talked with him yesterday, had a conversation with him.
How was that?
Cool, man. Real cool. You know,
he's a cool young man.
He's a great kid, man. He said, man, when my agent told me you wanted to talk, you had reached out. He said, I told my dad, man, Brian Mitchell reached out. He said, hey, dog, that's my Devin Hester. Y'all like Devin Hester. That was my dude right there.
That's awesome.
But we had a good time, man. And, you know, good too. Good kid.
In my experiences with him, I think he's been very cool.
Yep.
I'm excited to see him. I think definitely the punt return thing is right away, immediate. That's your job, dog. And take it and run with it. And yeah. I'm excited for that. I'm excited they just have like a dedicated punt returner rather than, you know, questions about who it is. Excited to see Connerly. We're probably still about a week out before we see him in pads. And seeing linemen without pads is, you know, it's not all that cool.
Kind of stuff you look at on Twitter. What kind of things are you following on social media?
So something just happened
media,
on Twitter that I put in the group text thread. Landfill, check that out. What do you think of that?
Landfill, what is up with him, dog?
Yo, it's a store, dude. It's a store in England called Butt Drugs.
It makes you think now.
Like, if you had a pharmacy, you could call it Mitchell Drugs,
yeah,
right?
But Butt Drugs
this is the
sounds
butt family.
Like you wondering if it's going to be injections. Brazilian.
Pause.
I'm saying Brazilian butt lift. You know, what kind of other drugs could it be? You start thinking about stuff, man. That's a little weird.
All right, so I got a question for you, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both golf. And when you're a real, whether
one of us golf, the other one hacks.
Sure. Whether you're good or bad, if you take the game relatively seriously, you have what's called a GIN number.
GIN.
USGA, G-H-I-N, right?
Gin number.
You say gin, I say gin. Potato, potato.
You're wrong.
But basically, it's your handicap.
Yeah.
And it's how you keep score and you plug your scores in, all of these
things. Uh-huh.
So I got my number.
What's your number?
14.0.
I like that.
Well, and it got me thinking. This is
how you can get it high again?
Yes, but
that's some BS, JP.
This is the lowest I've been. So before Shelby was born.
You finally have to put your numbers in for
real.
Can
you just let me get to my question?
I hate when you do that.
You hate when I do what?
Keep
making all my scores in, dude.
I don't know. Go ahead.
All right. The lowest I'd ever been in my life was before Shelby was born.
Uh-huh.
I was at a 12. I think I got down to an 11.8 was the lowest I'd ever been. I could probably look it up. But I know I was at a 12. 14 is the lowest I've been, I think, since Shelby has been born, right?
Yeah.
Since I've had kids. What direction do you think it goes from here? Do you think I get down into 13s?
You could get down into 10s if you – it has nothing to do with your kids.
I just had no time.
No, no, no,
we had babies
no, no,
and
no,
stuff.
No.
I didn't play.
JP, I play golf with you.
Yeah, but B, back then,
I understand what you're saying, but – you're at a 14 right now the way you play golf, where the front nine, you are one person, the back nine, you're somebody else. If you could be the same person throughout the round, you could get down to a 10 right now.
Yeah, but that's also golf. Like, that's not just me. It
no,
kind of
no,
comes
no, no,
and
no,
goes.
No, 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 no. It is just golf. But if you are the same person throughout the round, you're going to put lower numbers, and all of a sudden, you'll get that feel. You are locked. Most people lock in late in the game. You lock in early, and then you have fun in the last 9 holes.
I think I need to start playing in the morning.
Nah, but if you just learn to,
I'll probably have fun in the morning too.
Like the thing about it, like golf is like, I have played a long time. I got way down at one point. All I did was play golf for like 8 months. I didn't work or nothing. Now when I retired, I just went to golf. Now, I just started forget. I watched a lesson one day, and the guy was like, if you're a right-handed golfer, get your right hand out the swing. He say, and stop swinging so hard. Swing smoother. I'm on a run right now, though.
You're hot.
And I'm going to keep it going.
All right. So which way do you think I'll go? Up
I
or
think
down?
You're going to go down because, you know, I'm going to stay on you.
Dude, you know what's bizarre in my game right now is that, like, my wedges are working and the driver's a little spotty.
But see, if the wedges are working, you can always score. If the wedges and the putter works, you can make up. If you're just a driver guy and your driver leaving, you can't do the other stuff, you're gonna be bad.
All right, so the Commanders tweeted this out. I got a pop quiz for you, Mr. Mitchell. Now, I think one of these you're going to get. The other ones might be a group effort, all right?
Okay.
The Commanders tweeted out ball knowledge test. Who did we beat? How well do you remember the Super Bowl runs? So, 91, what were the three teams y'all beat? You're going to remember that easy.
I don't remember.
Really?
We didn't play three teams. We played two teams.
You played three.
We played two games.
You got a bye, but then you had a divisional, a conference championship, and a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Atlanta. Three teams. We played Atlanta, Detroit, and we beat Buffalo.
Right. I don't know
what I'm saying. Get to the Super Bowl,
we
beat
two
teams.
The Super Bowl
run. Okay, gotcha.
All right. So, you remember the scores?
41-10.
That was the Lions.
27-6.
You're very close.
27-7? 27-3.
24-7.
24-7 and 37-24.
Yeah. All right. So we can all try. Landfill, I mean, Jeff's not going to know anything, but we can try. 87. So this is the Doug Williams Super Bowl.
Can't tell you.
I know they beat the Broncos in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they beat the Broncos, and they scored 35 points in one quarter.
Yeah. That was a hell of a second quarter.
So it was like,
where's Ricky Sanders?
Was that game 40 something or what?
That game was 42-10.
Yeah.
Against Elway and the Broncos.
Yeah.
Left hand up. This is a sad confession. Did they beat the Vikings in the NFC title game?
I couldn't tell you.
Landfill, do you know?
See, the thing about it though, Drake, I don't think you have to apologize for that. Not everybody, like, the people that remember scores of every game can't tell you nothing else about football.
I also was 5 years old.
Yeah.
So, like,
I'm saying.
I'm not beating myself up
on that. And in 87, all I remember was Doug Williams was in the Super Bowl and everybody in Louisiana was losing their mind.
I got it right, though. They beat the Vikings in the NFC title game.
Okay.
Now, I should have remembered this because I believe it was the iconic Daryl Green play. They beat the Bears in
when he tore his rib muscle.
Now that might not have been that game. I know that was against the Bears.
Was that in the playoff or was that in the regular season game?
Again, I don't know. But this is funky, and maybe somebody of that age can let us know because there's no chance. Jeff Lanville, you got anything on the 87 Super Bowl run? Yeah, Jeff's way too young. They played the Bears at Soldier Field. So they were the lower seed in that game, and then they got to host the Vikings in the conference championship.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
All right, now.
The Bears probably were
maybe
at home field.
Yeah.
They beat them, and then all of a sudden they went up. The Vikings were probably the wild card.
Yeah, and there could have been a wild card upset. I don't know. And that was back then you had two bye teams.
Well, we know Washington wasn't the wild card. Because if they were, they probably wouldn't have had
hosted right.
Yeah, the next
one. They probably won the NFC East, my guess. Even though the Giants won the Super Bowl the year before. All right, 1982. Who's ready?
82, did they beat the Raiders?
They lost to the Raiders, I think, the year after.
I thought they lost to the Dolphins. Or they beat the Dolphins.
Well, they lost to the Dolphins back in the 70s. That was like George Allen.
Okay.
That was the undefeated Dolphins.
82. Jay, I was in junior high school.
We should at least know. I feel like I remember who they beat in the Super Bowl.
Who?
That was when I think they beat the Dolphins in that Super Bowl. I think they're 1-1 against the Dolphins in the Super Bowl. That's the famous Riggins run.
Dolphins never won one.
That's the famous Riggins run.
I said they beat the Dolphins.
Yeah. The Dolphins won at least one because they went undefeated and beat the Skins. That was like the Sonny and Billy days. That was like
it was Dan Marino never won the Super Bowl.
Dan Marino
Dolphins did win one.
Dan Marino Dan Marino never won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All right. So they beat the Dolphins.
See, I think about the Dolphins. You think Dolphins, I think Dan Marino.
Yeah. I get it. So they beat the Dolphins in the Super Bowl. That's the famous John Riggins run.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, there's a poster of it behind you.
Uh-huh.
And I do remember. I don't remember, but I remember the Sports Illustrated cover. They beat the Cowboys in the NFC title game at RFK. And the old heads, as Jeff would say, longtime Redskins fans said that's the loudest RFK ever was.
Probably was.
I think Daryl Grant made a big play. I think he had like a...
Daryl Grant made a play when our year, when I was here with them against Dallas, I know.
He was still playing then?
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I played with some dudes, bro. So when people ask me who I play with and I mention guys like that, they're like, damn, how old are you?
All right, so they beat Dolphins in the Super Bowl, Cowboys in the NFC title game. Left hand up, I do not know who they beat in the divisional
round. I don't know either.
I will look it up. So they beat Minnesota 21-7.
Minnesota was around, boy, back then, weren't they?
Is that like the purple people eater
Minnesota
life?
And Minnesota lost 5 Super Bowls or something like that? Or 5, something like that.
They've never won one. I know that.
But I think they lost 5 of them or something like that.
And they beat Detroit in the wild card round.
Detroit has beat a lot.
Was there a strike that year also? They only played 9 regular season games? There must have been, dude, because they played week 2, September 19th, and then they didn't play again until November 21st.
Must have had a stoppage.
Stoppages happen, man.
Yeah.
Stoppages happen. I don't know. I just thought that was a fun little piece of trivia from the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
I stumbled upon that because I was looking to see if they posted any pictures or anything from rookie camp. I haven't seen it yet, but those guys might.
Well, they're just doing conditioning stuff today.
They probably just got there this morning, right?
They were reporting today. They do conditioning stuff today. So it's not going to be a lot going on. This is the day I used to love, like when you come into camp, whether being a rookie or when I was a veteran. Rookie reporting day was always the best for me. I mean, when you check when we had to all get together in condition, that was the best day.
Why?
Because I just, like, you know when you're, when people that weren't there with you working out and they tell you all the stuff they're doing, that day tells you if somebody was working out or not. You know, and
that's the truth telling day.
The way, like, I had a tendency to, the years when I really, really went crazy, I'm not running with the running backs. I'm going to run with the DBs or the receivers. And Deuce and I did that in Philly too. And you know the receivers and DBs.
How much heavier are you than those guys?
Well, depending on who they are.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing about when you're in shape, you're in shape.
Right. I'm just saying, for you to run with those dudes, and my guess would be you've got
the time is
15
like
pounds
two,
on
the time
most
is like 2 seconds faster than ours. But, you know, when you're running with the running backs, we would be finishing we'd cruise to finish it and still finish it.
What did Ernest run like? I loved Biner as a kid.
Ernest, like, his 40?
Just, yeah. Because I don't remember him as, like, a heavy
but
runner.
But see, the difference between, like, everybody does a conditioning test differently. I told you.
Yeah.
Dan Riley puts you on the treadmill. Running back started around 5 miles per hour. You run 2 minutes, then they click it to 5.5. They click it to 6. They click it to 6.5. Click 6. He finished at 7.5. DBs might start at 6.
How long?
2 minutes each. It's 12 minutes long.
That I could actually do.
That's your conditioning test.
Yeah.
When Norv came, I had to run 14 40s under like 5-something, 5.5.
Back-to-back?
I get out. Yeah, we go back. Like, you run. Everybody finished, then you run another, and you just keep going. So what we did.
So you did it by position group?
Yeah, we'd come out the first 10 yards and just cruise in. It was never tough.
Yeah, it's under 5.5 for you that have four Philly, speed or whatever. Yeah.
And it was over and back 16 times. That was tough, too, because those gases will get you, dog. The first 7-8, easy. Them last 4, that's hell, dog.
Well, that's what you always said about playing for Andy was it wasn't that much hitting, but we ran our ass off.
He ran the hell out of you, you know. And Joe got you in shape by doing football stuff. we practiced just like we played.
I love it. See, I could listen to that kind of stuff all day, man. Hopefully, I wanted to read this tweet. This made me laugh. Will Kavanaugh tweeted me this morning, right when the show started, right at 10 o'clock. He said, "All right, I'm done listening to sports stuff today. Time to turn on B. Mitch and Finley." Remember that? Was it Charlie yesterday? Yeah. He's like, "Man, I've had enough of this sports stuff.
Man, I'm tired of listening to this.
Go for a walk." Hey. I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, man, you can go to CNN, you can go to Fox, you can go to MSNBC.
Watch Indiana Jones.
Because we're talking about sports.
Leadville, I have some news you might like. Check this out, Landini. I'll put it on the stream, too.
Salt and vinegar chips?
I brought a bag of salt and vinegar chips.
That's something people like to ride. They eat those when they ride bikes, too.
Why? Just because they're good?
The salt and the vinegar.
Is that good for your bike riding?
Help you out a little bit from cramps.
We all need help from cramps, Landfill. Baseball returns. What exactly are the Nats doing now?
That's a question I have when we talk to Mark.
Well, we're talking to Mark Zuckerman next. Nobody go anywhere. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles.
Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The Immersive Cult Classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.